Well, thank you very much, Bob. I'll lower the mic so you can see my face, one of the perils of being short. But before I say anything this morning, this is my first chance to speak to this group this year. And I want to express the sincere condolences of NRCS and USDA on the passing of Olin Sims. I know we all here miss him deeply. The conservation community lost one of its most respected voices. I, like many of you, lost a true friend. Later this evening, we're going to pay further tribute to his memory by presenting the first Olin Sims Leadership Award. The award, which will be jointly sponsored by NACD and NRCS, it will be given annually to recognize the achievements of a member of the conservation community who demonstrates leadership in promoting conservation on private lands. In this small way, I think what we're trying to do is help ensure that Olin's vision and his many contributions are remembered by future generations. And so I hope you'll be able to. But this week, as we come together in Reno to strengthen and celebrate our unique and historic partnership, NRCS is also launching a national campaign. It'll highlight conservation is our purpose and our passion, a theme for which Olin could have been the proud standard bearer. Conservation is our purpose at NRCS as we go about our mission of helping people help the land. And I certainly know that it is the purpose of the 3,000 soil and water conservation districts across this country. Together, we understand that cooperative conservation across watersheds and landscapes is the only way it makes sense for us to do business in the 21st century. Together, we build and deliver conservation solutions that work. And together, the committed members of our conservation partnership help landowners get conservation on the ground. And isn't that the true measure of our success? For many of us, conservation is also our passion. Because of your passion, your professionalism, your persistence, private landowners voluntarily take conservation actions that yield invaluable benefits in the forms of higher quality and more abundant water, cleaner air, more productive soils, and improved wildlife habitat. You know, I believe that American farmers and ranchers are the most productive of any on earth. I also believe that this is in no small part thanks to the plans, practices, and encouragement that you provide through technical assistance that enhances their bottom line. Yet sometimes as budgets grow more constrained, as workloads increase, as the paperwork threatens to overwhelm us, it's easy to lose sight of the critical role that working land conservation plays in strengthening rural communities and in conserving, maintaining, and improving our vital natural resources. And if we, for whom conservation is our purpose and our passion, can sometimes overlook the direct relevance of our work, certainly those that don't have the daily exposure to agriculture are even more likely to miss that mark. In fact, today, most of the public falls in this category. When Abraham Lincoln, who was born 199 years ago on this day, was president of the United States, 80% of the population was rural. Now, 80% of our population lives in urban areas. In 1862, the year Lincoln created the Department of Agriculture, 60% of all jobs were on the farm. Today, less than 2% of us are on the farm. That's just one of the reasons why, in addition to our many other responsibilities as a conservation community, we must continue to strive to raise awareness of the significant contributions made by landowners, our employees, volunteers, and other partners in achieving both abundant agricultural production and a healthy environment. You know, you don't have to look at Colonel Seaton's slide that shows the lights of California to understand that the alternative to land and agricultural production is not land in some natural CRP state, but it's land that's lit up like that where we lose valuable resources to the public. And if we want the public to gain a better understanding of the societal benefits that production agriculture provides, and if we as a conservation community want to retain and increase public support for our mission of conservation, we must continue to highlight and reinforce all the ways cooperative conservation supports our national priorities. all the ways that our nation's producers are providing cleaner air, cleaner and more abundant water, and improved wildlife habitat. Certainly things like the Conservation Effects Assessment Project, our continued performance reporting through our PRS systems, and our other efforts to build the science case for conservation will be important to make this case. But I believe we also need to better package our story. And that's why this morning I'm proud to bring to you our national campaign, one we believe captures our shared purpose and passion and creates enthusiasm about the possibilities of partnering with us. It helps build the case for what we do as a partnership and puts a face on agriculture that I think we would all agree is the one that's occurring across this country. And while any of us in this room could champion these ideas, we think that the best spokespeople in this case are the producers who use our services to achieve their business and stewardship goals. We're blessed to have many thousand such dedicated landowner partners. For this campaign, we've chosen to feature 8 from the avalanche of nominations submitted by our state conservationists. In just a moment, you'll hear from them, from the heart, in a 5-minute video making its debut here. They represent a wonderful cross-section of our customers and partner base, demonstrating the diversity of geography, culture, adopted practices, and products. But they also share attributes common among America's best farmers and ranchers. And I'll come back to these common characteristics at the end of the video. But without further ado, please join me in viewing Conservation, Our Purpose, Our Passion.
And their hearts. Those who care for the land.
I'm a conservationist because it's a part of me. It's who I am. I simply couldn't do it any other way. I would not feel right with myself if I didn't leave this operation in a better state than when I found it.
I don't really think about conservation as conservation. It's something you do. We don't want to cause any problems to the environment. You step back and think and you say, yeah, I guess I'm a conservationist, really.
I share the feelings with my father. It's the way we were raised to do things right, especially in the future. You'll never be able to be competitive without being conservation-minded.
Well, my passion is just being me. It's like taking care of things. I care about all of the equipment that I use, take good care of the land, water quality, really care about keeping it right, you know.
Comes from my heart. All I do comes from my heart.
I look down over my parents' porch, down at my grandpa's orchard that he planted, and I think of him. He took care of it. So maybe one day my grandkids will do the same for me.
You know, it's kind of like if you got a neighbor down and out, you go help him out. Well, when you fix up a place, you're fixing that place up. You're helping somebody. But it's future generations.
Doing conservation, I think it gives me and my dad the sense of pride, you know, in the product that we put out to the market and in the job that we do every day, that we are doing a good job to preserve the land.
Because the farmer, we touch the soil and water more than the city people. We gotta take care.
We've been here so long that I can't even imagine not having this. I can't imagine selling it and getting rid of this. I've been doing watershed protection work for at least the last decade. On conservation, people feel differently about it in varying degrees of passionate about environmental things, but everybody wants the same thing. They want a future for their kids that involves ranching, and part of having ranching keep going is conservation.
It's probably the end of the day, that's probably one of the best, one of my best things going is, you know, I can be here, my, you know, my family, and I stop sometimes and have a look around, and I get to see the results of what, you know, what little I have done is making a difference, I think.
I used to collect pencils, and I sold them one day to buy a bunch of little trees to plant. We call it a riparian buffer now. This is our livelihood. God has given us this land to be stewards of it, and we're going to do it the best we can.
To me, it's kind of an instinct. It's only natural to take care of the land. To me, that's obvious, and I don't know where it came from. It's just been there. I would sure hope that at least one of my children would take this farm someday and farm it like their dad farms it and take care of it as it takes care of us.
They come from different places, with different voices and different faces. But they are bound with us by a common bond, the common bond of love, the common bond of caring, the common bond of conservation. Conservation, our purpose, our passion, our partnership.
Thank you. You know, every time I see this, I come away revitalized by our customers' earnestness and their enthusiasm, their dedication and commitment. And I'm humbled by the opportunity that we have as individuals and as a conservation community to help them and to serve them. You know, between them, those 8 producers raise beef cattle and dairy cows, sheep, watermelons, peanuts, peas, grass seed, hay, corn, soybeans, wheat, barley, alfalfa, cucumbers, long beans, squash, tomatoes, eggplants, and timber. And that doesn't even begin to count the pheasants and the ducks and the quail and the salmon and the trout, the native grasses and forbs, and all the prize bounties that they're helping to produce. And although that is an impressive list in its diversity, I find as I learn more about them, I'm even more impressed by what these farmers and ranchers have in common. So let me tell you about some of the traits that they share, 5 key traits that I believe contribute to their success as producers and conservationists. First, they have an abiding respect for the rich rural and farming heritage that is so deeply ingrained in our sense of who we are as Americans. And that includes a respect for cherished pieces of land that in some cases have been handed down through several generations, or as you saw in the video with all those young people, will be handed down for future generations. Their second shared trait is an open-mindedness that allows them to embrace innovation and technologies while remaining flexible enough to cope with the challenges inherent in trying to make a living from the land. They've been willing to seek out and make the best use of conservation technical assistance from an array of sources, and they've implemented the multiple management plans that you and other experts have helped them develop. Third, they understand and have demonstrated for all of us to see that good conservation is good economics. They consider environmental improvements an investment. As one state conservationist noted as they submitted their nomination, they approach conservation with the same can-do entrepreneurial attitude they employ with their business. Fourth, they're leaders on and off the farm, serving on the board of conservation districts, co-ops, and other industry and community groups. Their leadership has been recognized with awards such as the Conservation Farmer of the Year, Farm Family of the Year, and the Lloyd Wright Small Farmer Award. And finally, they are true partners in every sense of the word. All of these customers have participated in myriad field days and demonstrations and educational events because they genuinely believe in sharing their experience and expertise with others. In one producer's case, his open door policy has resulted in visitors from 41 states and 14 foreign countries. We had another who hosted a Secretary of Agriculture, and yet another hosted the President of Mexico. That grower says she's eager to encourage other producers to take advantage of programs that can help individual growers and improve the health of the industry. She asserts that the more you involve other people and share the benefits and opportunities, the better off the industry will be. You know, there can be no doubt that for these dedicated landowners and advocates, conservation is a real passion. It's impossible to hear them talk about their labors and their land and not come away with a renewed sense of purpose and excitement about the potential for partnership. You know, the stories of these featured customers and so many others around the country tell us loud and clear that our shared work matters. It's mattered for more than 70 years and will continue to matter as long as our objective is to make every acre count for conservation. Like our featured customers, we must be willing to embrace innovation and new technologies and practices when and where appropriate. We must be willing to look at how we're structured and ask ourselves, is that the best way to deliver conservation? And we must work hard to make conservation easier. Because despite the vagaries of farm bills, budget cycles, and staffing issues, we must remain focused on excellence in delivering conservation technical assistance and planning expertise. And we must continue through our efforts in cooperative conservation to serve as catalysts and facilitators for the adoption of practices that lead to both productive lands and a healthy environment. In closing, I want to say that I appreciate the opportunity to join you here in Reno to showcase conservation is our purpose and our passion, and to launch this important campaign. On behalf of NRCS and USDA, I want to thank you for your steadfast partnership, for all that you do to help people help the land. And I'm confident that together, we can successfully deliver conservation beyond boundaries.